Hey everyone, welcome to the Thought. You ever get that feeling, you know, like the world's just moving on without you, like you're stuck? That's kind of where we find Peter in Titanic Man
Yeah,
by Gordon White.
absolutely.
It's a thriller
Oh, yeah.
with some really kind of scary questions
Yeah,
about AI
definitely.
and the chances. So if you haven't already, hit that like and subscribe button
Yeah, please do.
so you don't miss out on the rest of this deep dive. We'll put a link to the book down in the description below.
For sure.
So what really grabs you right away is that White just throws Peter into this downward spiral.
Yeah, right.
He loses his job
Yeah.
at Jensen Media.
High-paying marketing job.
Yeah. And not to some, you know, hotshot rival,
Right.
but to the AI
Which is crazy,
that
right?
he helped create.
Exactly, the very AI he helped
His
create.
marriage is falling apart. He's
Yeah.
back in his childhood home.
Oh, yeah.
And then to top it all off, his first love, Mia Brenner, has just died.
I mean, come on, the universe is really piling on at this point.
Right. Like you're almost waiting for him to walk under a ladder and then a black cat to just, you know,
Exactly
walk right
it.
in front of him. It's like,
Exactly.
come on, what else can go wrong?
Right.
But you know what? It's that vulnerability that makes Peter such a great character.
Yeah, I think so too.
He's not like this, you know, superhero who's
Right.
going to suddenly come in and save the world.
He's an everyman.
He's just a regular guy
Totally,
who's
huh?
trying to figure things out
Right.
when it feels like his whole world is falling apart.
And that's where that idea of a second chance, that really comes into play,
Yeah.
right? He's forced to look back on his life,
Right.
on the choices he made, and ultimately he has to figure out what kind of future he wants to build.
Yeah. And speaking of second chances, he ends up meeting this group of teenagers on the beach.
On the beach in Hull,
Yep.
Massachusetts.
And one of them is Jason. He's a young mechanic.
Yeah, with these big dreams.
Big dreams, yeah. It feels almost like
Evaded, right.
sated. Like, why is he there at that moment?
It's fascinating how White contrasts these two characters,
Yeah.
right? You've got Jason, who is full of ambition. He's eager to learn,
Yeah.
and he wants desperately to get out of his small town,
Escape that life.
escape that life. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he represents this kind of innocence and hope that Peter has lost
Along the way.
along the way. Yeah. And their interactions, they're more than just, casual encounters.
Right.
It makes them both reevaluate their lives and think about the choices that they've made.
Yeah. And then the plot thickens, right?
It always does.
Jason stumbles upon Peter's secret research.
Yeah, into this thing called Titanic Man.
Yeah, it's an AI project led by this Silicon Valley CEO,
Mark Cherney?
Mark Cherney, a guy with a, you know,
God complex.
a bit of a god complex,
Sure.
and a penchant for the dramatic. We're talking about a virus that can wreak havoc on global systems, and a launch code that sounds like something straight out of like a James Bond film.
Yeah, totally.
It's pretty wild.
It is, and this is where White really masterfully blends that personal drama
Yeah.
with this kind of chilling global conspiracy. Titanic Man isn't just some tech jargon, it's a symbol of Cherney's vision for the future.
His messed up vision, yeah.
Yeah, his messed up vision for the future. He thinks that AI is a threat
To humanity.
to humanity, and he thinks the only way to save us is to reset everything. And guess who's going to orchestrate it all?
Him.
Him, yeah.
So let's unpack Mark Cherney for a second. This isn't just some power-hungry CEO looking to make a quick buck, right? He thinks that he's saving the world,
Yeah, he really does.
even if it means stepping on a few
Well, a
people
few nets along the
to
way,
get there.
right? He's the embodiment of that idea. The road to hell is paved with good intentions,
Yeah.
right? He's a product of Silicon Valley.
Yeah, that whole move fast and break things.
Exactly. And it's taken to the extreme. He's so worried about the threat of AI that he doesn't even think about the ethics of it.
Yeah.
And it raises a big question for us, for everyone listening. If you thought you had the answer to save the world, how far would you go? Would you be willing to sacrifice people's freedom for safety?
It's a question that, you know, keeps you up at night,
It does,
right?
right?
And just when you think things can't get more crazy, we have the Nebraska incident,
Right.
a nuclear missile silo explodes,
It's nuts.
sending shockwaves through
Literally.
the story, right?
Yeah,
And
yeah.
suddenly, what was just a personal conflict becomes a global crisis.
It's brilliant.
It's a great plot device
Right.
that White uses to raise the stakes, and it makes the
And
character.
us as
Yeah.
readers to think about what Mark's doing for real. This isn't, a debate in a classroom. This is actually happening.
Right in front of us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then, like out of nowhere, Peter's daughter, Erica, arrives.
She's
She's a
right.
drummer. Goes by Hit Girl.
stage name, Hit Girl. Yeah.
And she brings a whole other layer of family drama.
Oh, for sure. Eric is more than just a side story. It's White's way of looking at family and the impact of Peter's choices.
Yeah.
You know, she grew up without her dad. He's mad at him for the past. But as she gets pulled into this whole Titanic man thing,
yeah,
she has to confront her feelings for her dad,
right,
and grapple with the idea that maybe he's more than just the messed up absent parent she thought he was.
Yeah, that's where we're going to leave you hanging for now. Part one ends with this clash of personal struggles,
yeah,
global threats,
uh-huh,
and family secrets.
Oh, yeah. But the real journey, that's just getting started.
That's just the beginning.
It is. What we've seen so far, it's just the tip of the iceberg. The question is, can Peter, Jason, and Erica figure out how to stop Mark's journey and keep his Titanic man from sinking the world?
We'll find out next time.
So when we left off, Jason and Erica are trying to decide what to do with the master kill switch.
Yeah, and the launch code, which Art Wayland had given them.
Right. Not exactly a normal problem for teenagers to deal with.
I mean, how do you even begin to understand the weight of that? They're holding the fate of the world in their hands.
And remember, they're also dealing with the shock of that explosion in Nebraska.
Yeah.
It's like the world's falling apart.
Yeah.
And these two are right in the middle of it. But White, he doesn't just throw him in the deep end. He introduces this character, Frank Perez.
Right, right.
Who Art has set up for them to meet at the Berkeley Marina.
So Frank's like a guardian angel.
Yeah, kind
of. He's part of Art's network of investors and tech people, right? Seems like Art was well connected.
Oh, he was definitely a puppet master, you know. But Frank, he's a bit of hope.
Okay.
In this dark story, he offers Jason and Erica a safe way to get to Mountain View.
Silicon Valley.
Yeah, the heart of it. Home of Turnpoint. Art thought that if they could get a launch code to Mark Turney, they could stop him.
Stop him from activating the master kill switch?
Yeah, yeah.
Wait, hold on. Wouldn't that give Mark exactly what he wants?
That's the big question, isn't it?
The power to control everything? I'm not sure I get what Art was thinking.
A huge risk, definitely. Art's hoping that Mark will use that launch code responsibly as a deterrent, not as a weapon.
But can you really trust a guy who blew up a nuclear silo?
Yeah, that's the tough part, especially for Jason.
Right. I mean, he just lost his parents, his whole world's been turned upside down, and now he's supposed to trust this guy who's responsible for all this.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It's a lot to ask.
Yeah. Jason's cautious.
Rightfully so.
But Erica, she's ready to do this. She's mad at her dad for what he did, but she also wants to honor him by stopping Mark.
Yeah, so Frank takes him to Silicon Valley in his fancy SUV, and we get a glimpse of the world of tech and these billion-dollar companies. But then things take a turn, don't they?
They do. At a diner, they meet this amazing character, Marjorie.
Oh, yeah.
This trucker with a heart of gold.
I love her.
Tough, independent. She brings some humor to the story,
yeah,
which is really needed.
Absolutely.
Point.
Yeah. It's like, even with everything going on, there are still good people out there.
Right.
People willing to help.
Yeah. It's a reminder that kindness can be found anywhere.
Yeah. So she offers to give them a ride to get them closer to where they need to be. But then things go south again.
Right. The carjacking scene outside Cheyenne, Wyoming, that is intense. It's like danger is always right there.
And they hear about the explosion in Nebraska on the rescue
area. Marjorie's truck. Yeah.
Yeah, man.
It's a punch in the gut.
Yeah.
Really shows you the impact of what Mark did.
Yeah.
This isn't just talk anymore. It's real. People are hurt. People are dead.
It changes things for Jason and Erica, too, right? They see that this is bigger than just them.
It's a wake-up call.
It is.
Forces them to face their fears.
Yeah.
And do something they never thought they'd have to do.
So they're stranded, no car, back to square one.
Yeah, but sometimes you get lucky. They're back at that same diner where they met Marjorie, who shows up. Like a movie, right? She said she'll take them all the way to Vallejo.
Wow.
And on the drive, she tells them about her life, her ups and downs.
Yeah.
She's a survivor.
Even in a world that's obsessed with tech, it's the human connections that matter.
Yeah, exactly.
So she drops them off at the Berkeley Marina, and they finally meet Frank Perez.
Right.
He takes them to this office building in Mountain View.
Nondescript kind of place.
Something feels... Oh.
Doesn't it look like a spy movie? The building's empty, security's everywhere.
Yeah.
And this computer voice tells him to look at the camera.
It's creepy.
Yeah, White's really good at building suspense. He gives you these hints that something's wrong.
Yeah.
Makes you feel uneasy.
Yeah. And then Art Wayland appears. but he's not what they expected.
Not at all. He's young, casual, almost awkward.
It's weird, right? All this secrecy, why not meet at Churn Point?
It's like he's hiding something, keeping them in the dark. He says things have gotten complicated, that Mark's gone rogue.
He also says that he had been talking to Peter and had given him the master kill switch.
Right, and the launch code.
And the launch code.
But there are holes in his story.
Yeah.
Why involve Peter in all this? And what is Mark going to do with the master kill switch?
Right.
It doesn't add up.
No. And then, right as Art's about to explain, Jason sees something on the security cameras.
Yeah.
Men in black suits heading towards Erica.
Oh, no.
It's like a movie.
It is.
It all falls apart.
Yeah.
Art freaks out.
He knows they've been betrayed, tells them to run, but it's too late.
It's total chaos. Jason gets away, but Erica, they take her.
To Churn Point.
To Churn Point. Art, he was playing them all along, led them into a trap. It's a huge blow, especially for Jason. He trusted Art.
Yeah.
And now he has to save Erica from this madman.
So part two ends there with a cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Can Jason do it?
Can he save the world? So we left Jason in a pretty bad spot.
Yeah. Eric has been taken, Art's a traitor, and Mark Cherney's about to get what he wants. Control.
Total control. The tension is really high here. Jason, this regular guy, he's all that stands between us. And
A technological apocalypse.
Yeah. Orchestrated by this Silicon Valley, I don't know.
Megalomania.
Yeah. It's like a classic underdog story.
It is.
But with the highest stakes imaginable.
The fate of the world.
Yeah. And what makes it even more intense is that Jason is in way over his head.
Right. He's stuck in this high-tech building.
Surrounded by enemies.
No clear plan.
Yeah. But Jason's a problem solver.
He is.
Right. He's used to fixing things.
Figuring things out.
Yeah. And that's what saves him in this crazy situation. He uses his knowledge of mechanics to move around the building.
To figure out the infrastructure.
Yeah. And he realizes that the safest place is actually out in the open. He blends in with the maintenance crew.
Smart.
He even takes apart a bicycle.
Really?
Yeah, to make a weapon.
Wow. That shows you how resourceful he is.
Totally. And he's listening to people talk, picking up clues about Mark's plan and where Erica is.
He's like a detective in a race against time.
Yeah, trying to solve this deadly puzzle.
Exactly.
Meanwhile, Mark's in the server room, thinking he's about to save the world. It's kind of scary.
I bet.
Because you see how much he believes in this messed up plan of his.
His vision of a good AI dictatorship.
Right.
It's scary, but also
fascinating.
Yeah.
It really makes you think about power.
And what people will give up for safety.
Yeah. And then just when it seems like there's no hope left, Jason paid Erica. But she's been hurt badly. Her spirit's broken.
It's tough to read.
It is. It shows you the real cost of what Mark's doing. And then out of nowhere, the FBI shows up.
What? How did they know?
The chaos at Churn Point, it got their attention.
What, like a last minute rescue?
Yeah. But even with the FBI there, it's not over. Mark's trapped, desperate, and still thinks he's the good guy.
Delusional.
Totally. So he does this crazy thing. He tells the FBI what the master kill switch really is.
Which is?
A virus that will shut down the internet in the entire U.S.
Wow.
Cut us off from the world.
That's drastic.
It is. But Mark thinks it's the only way to stop AI from taking over. He's willing to isolate the country to protect us from what he sees as a bigger threat. And then he does something totally unexpected. He gives Jason the code to disarm the master kill switch.
Really? Why would he do that?
It's confusing, right? Is he trying to make things right? Or is it another trick? We don't know.
It's ambiguous.
Yeah. Jason and Erica are taken by the FBI, but they get to see Peter again. He survived the shooting. It's a small bit of good news in all of this.
Yeah, it is.
The book ends with Jason standing on the beach. He has Art's phone, which has the codes to activate or disarm the master kill switch. He has to decide, does he get rid of the virus and hope that we can control AI? Or does he leave it active, risking global isolation, but maybe preventing a disaster?
Wow, what a choice.
Yeah. It makes you think about the ethics of AI, you know?
Yeah. Titanic, man, it's a warning. It shows us that technology can be amazing, but it can also have consequences we don't expect. It asks us to think about the role AI plays in our lives and to make sure we develop it responsibly.
It's also a story about bouncing back.
Resilience.
Yeah. About human connection and the courage to fight for what's right, even when it seems impossible. What did you guys think about this deep dive? What would you have done if you were Jason?
Let us know in the comments.
And if you like this episode, share it with your friends. Subscribe to The Deep Dive for more discussions like this. And don't forget to check out Gordon White's Titanic Man. It's a book that will stick with you.
For sure.
Until next time, keep diving deep.